Hello, nature-loving friends, and welcome to Planet Earth, our loving home. Our program today features highlights from High-Level Dialogue, Climate Change in Asia and the Pacific, a two-day conference sponsored by the Asian Development Bank and held this past summer in Manila, the Philippines. The bank is an international finance institution that seeks to assist its member states in the Asia-Pacific region in the areas of economic and social development. Climate change is being driven primarily by global livestock production. The 2006 United Nations report, Livestock's Long Shadow, states that greenhouse gas emissions from this activity is the single greatest contributor to global warming and exceeds the emissions of all forms of transportation combined. Some estimates now say that the meat production cycle is responsible for 60% or more of all greenhouse gases released globally. The Asia-Pacific region is one of the most vulnerable areas on Earth with regard to climate change. In recent years, Asian and Pacific countries have experienced more frequent and severe natural disasters, including typhoons, floods, storm surges, and extended droughts, all causing huge losses of life and enormous economic damage. And several island nations in the region, such as the Maldives, Kiribati, and Tuvalu, are in danger of soon disappearing altogether from rapidly rising sea levels. According to a recent study financed by the Asian Development Bank, the melting of the Himalayan glaciers, combined with other effects of global warming alone, will seriously threaten the water and food security of 1.6 billion people in South Asia. The Honorable Ban Ki-moon, the United Nations Secretary General, made a special address to the attendees via video conference, underscoring the importance of the upcoming United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark, since the meeting's objective is to replace the landmark Kyoto Protocol with a more effective greenhouse gas reduction treaty.
This is the year of climate change. In December, government negotiators will meet to seal a deal in Copenhagen. Your contribution is essential. We understand, as never before, the scale and pace of climate change. We are also seeing its effects. Asia's shrinking glaciers threaten water supplies and food security for hundreds of millions of people. Rising sea levels could inundate many of the region's islands and cities. Other areas face desertification and land degradation. Global greenhouse gas emissions must decline. This region is home to half the world's population. I'm heartened by the positive signals I'm receiving from the region. I trust this meeting will help us to take us closer to our goals in Copenhagen, and I wish you every success.
Prominent Asian leaders from various fields attended this summer's conference, including Her Excellency Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, President of the Philippines, Dr. Rajendra Pachauri, Chair of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, His Excellency Go Kun, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Korea, Mr. Haruhiko Kuroda, President of the Asian Development Bank, and many other key policymakers and experts. In her keynote address, President Macapagal Arroyo emphasized that the global community needs to take urgent action given the very real dangers posed by planetary heating.
Indeed, we are all here today because climate change is here. Weather patterns are changing. Human activity has caused climate change. Fossil fuels, land use, solid waste. Climate change is already impacting adversely on many of the world's peoples. It will have catastrophic effects if we don't take immediate and sufficient action.
Her Excellency Kempeng Polsena, Minister in charge of water resources under the Prime Minister's office in Laos, also expressed her nation's concerns about climate change.
I'm from the Laopedia, Lao People's Democratic Republic. As you know, my country is a small landlocked country. But even as our capacity as a small landlocked country, we are also affected as the big countries by climate change and by the effect of global warming.
And Dr. Rajendra Pachauri stressed the necessity of immediate action given the current planetary crisis.
This is a region which is going to be highly vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, and therefore we have to prepare for them. There are changes in precipitation patterns that are taking place. There is sea level rise, which has major impacts on the lives and livelihoods of people. We have the problem of impacts on agriculture. As we brought out in the fourth assessment report of the IPCC, very soon the impacts of climate change will far exceed the capacity of human society to be able to absorb them. And therefore, it's essential that we bring about a process by which mitigation of emissions of greenhouse gases take place rapidly and adequately.
We must all work together to solve this problem. If we do it, we in Asia and the Pacific, and the world for that matter, it will be one of the great achievements in our history. Every nation, developed or developing, must assume the mantle of leadership and work to address the challenge of climate change. But not only every nation, every person as well. Each and every person bears some responsibility for what we have done today and throughout history to diminish our environment. Obviously, some are more responsible than others. And some are more responsible today than yesterday. But all that apportionment of blame does nothing against a rising tide of global warming that will swamp our nation and many parts of our region and our world if we do not act with decisiveness and solidarity.
When we return, we will present more highlights from High-Level Dialogue, Climate Change in Asia and the Pacific, held in Manila, the Philippines. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, featuring High-Level Dialogue, Climate Change in Asia and the Pacific, a two-day conference sponsored by the Asian Development Bank and held this past summer in Manila, the Philippines.
As President Kuroda has reminded us, we are responsible in this region for about one-third of the emissions of greenhouse gases. So to that extent, we really cannot be idle bystanders. And may I also submit, there are several actions that we take today that would have major benefits for the welfare of the people and bring about a pattern of sustainable development while at the same time reduce the emissions of greenhouse gases. So I think there are win-win situations. There are no regrets measures that we can all work on.
In recent years, the Philippine government has taken numerous steps to implement eco-friendly policies for the sake of its people and the planet.
I have created a presidential task force on climate change, and the chair of the task force is no other than myself. We have a Green Philippines agenda, and it covers not only the work of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, but the work of other departments as well, especially the Department of Energy. Our Green Philippines agenda puts an emphasis on a sustainable economic model that brings economic opportunity and a concern for our environment. It is devoted to a sustainable economic model that allows for growth, job creation, and environmental stewardship. Too many nations, developed and developing, used to believe, and I hope they don't anymore, that the environment must be sacrificed at the altar of growth. We firmly believe otherwise. And because we are only doing our takeoff now, we have a unique opportunity to get it right from day one. To introduce new industries that are clean and profitable. This ranges from furniture made with environmental friendly practices and materials, to ecotourism, to developing industry that helps our energy independence, creates jobs, and keeps our nation clean for future generations. Our Green Philippines includes reducing reliance on fossil fuels with our wind and solar efforts and geothermal programs and other programs. It is good for our economy and good for the health and well-being of our people to have a strong economy and a clean environment.
Factory farms are the number one source of atmospheric methane, a deadly greenhouse gas with 72 times the global warming potential of carbon dioxide over a 20-year period. Intensive animal agriculture also generates 65% of worldwide emissions of nitrous oxide, which has nearly 300 times the heating potential of carbon dioxide over a 100-year period. An organic vegan diet is the easiest and quickest way to address climate change, creating 94% fewer carbon emissions per person than a meat diet. Many attendees agreed that vegetarianism is an effective way to curb the heating of our planet.
I'm Narayan from Nepal. So I work as executive director of Alternative Energy Promotion Center of the government of Nepal. Basically, being vegetarian, it's saving carbon. So being vegetarian takes much less energy than being eating meat. So that's the thing that's happening.
Annapurna Vanchaswaran, Director of Sustainable Development Outreach of India's Energy and Resources Institute, and Nitin Desai, former Under Secretary General for Economic and Social Affairs of the United Nations, expressed similar views.
It is the basic fact that if you look at the numbers of bringing out 1 kg of meat to producing any other form of food, the kilo of meat costs a lot in terms of natural resources.
Now there's a lot of evidence that vegetarianism is good, not just for health, but it's also for the environment.
Here are some closing thoughts from President Macapagal Arroyo and the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon on meeting the challenge of climate change.
As an international community, those of you here who belong to the world that Asian Development Bank assists, we must act together and we must act with the rest of the world. And most important, we must act effectively and act now.
As we look forward to Copenhagen, I have a simple message for the countries of Asia and the Pacific. You must be part of the long-term solution. You must help us seal a deal that addresses mitigation, adaptation, financing and governance. A deal that is ambitious, comprehensive and fair.
For more details on the Asian Development Bank's Climate Change Conference, please visit www.adb.org. Thank you for your kind company on today's edition of Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May our lives be imbued with divine love from heaven.
For more details, please visit www.SupremeMasterTV.com/PE.